Can we start today by just admitting something together? Would that be okay? Because we're heading into some holiday season, and the holidays are supposed to be a time of love and joy and peace. But can we admit that we're probably feeling a little stressed already? Is anyone else feeling a little stressed already? Because we're about to head into Thanksgiving, and some of us know that there's that one family member that just has a gift for turning a normal day into a circus. Some of us just know that we're going to be dreading the conversations, the comparisons, the comments. Some of us are already feeling the pressure of make it magical for the kids. We've got to get the right gifts. Everyone smile for the picture. No, everyone right now smile. I got to hold it all together, put on a brave face, get back out there. We're feeling this pressure. Or I don't know, maybe you're not feeling stressed, but maybe you're feeling sad or lonely. Or maybe you're feeling like everyone around you is celebrating and you are just trying to survive the next 6 weeks. And then add in all the other stuff in our culture that comes with this time of year. The materialism, the hurry, the travel, the money stress, and all of it together just makes peace seem like something that's made up from a Hallmark movie. Well, can I tell you something? You're not broken for feeling this way. You're human. We all feel like peace is far off or a foreign concept when life keeps shifting under us, keeps pulling the ground out from underneath our feet. But that's why I love the Bible passage that we're going to be reading today, because if peace feels far off, then the Apostle Paul is going to show us the way into contentment and peace, and he's showing us the way while he's writing from prison. He's not on the beach. He's not relaxing in comfort. He's chained up, and somehow he's saying, I've learned to be content no matter what's happening around us. And if he was able to find contentment in that set of circumstances, maybe Jesus wants to teach us how to find contentment and peace in our circumstances, right in the middle of the stress, the noise, the expectations, the family dynamics. So open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4. And if you're using the Black Seatback Bible that's there in front of you, that'll be on page 154 of the New Testament. But Philippians chapter 4, and as you are finding it, I want to remind you what we've been learning from this whole letter these past 2 months. Because even though most of us want Jesus in our lives, we often let him stay as one piece of the puzzle, and he's tucked away in between family and work and politics and the chase of a better life. But this letter calls us to something deeper. Jesus doesn't just want to fit into our schedule. He lays claim to every corner of our lives. And when we put Jesus over everything, over our plans, over our power, over our circumstances, we experience him filling every part of our lives with his presence and power so that others can encounter his love through us. And as we read the end of this letter today, we're going to see that no matter what we face in life, the ups and the downs, abundance or lack, there is a secret that Paul learned. And it might be the exact type of peace that your heart is craving. So let's read together Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. Paul writes, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I'm referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret to being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving, receiving, except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The friends who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of the emperor's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. See, Paul wrote this letter from prison in response to the church in Philippi sending him a care package. That's what he's talking about when Epaphroditus came and gave him a care package, and now he's sending back this letter to say thank you. And he's also giving them teaching, and he's encouraging them to model their lives after the story of Jesus by serving others with humility, trusting God no matter the outcome. And here, in the conclusion of the letter, he thanks them again for their sacrificial gift. And he's reiterating right there at the beginning of verse 11, you know, he's not in need now. This isn't a backhanded way of asking for more. He's grateful for what they've given, and he's learned to be content no matter the circumstances. And then in verses 14 through 18, he keeps going. He talks about how grateful he is for them. He's affirming their partnership with him. And then in those final greetings, he points back to the sufficiency of God as their true provider. And it's a beautiful way to close out this letter that is focused on helping us realize that when we draw close to Jesus in the joy of his life, as well as in the depths of his suffering, knowing Jesus is always a deeply transforming encounter. But I would actually like to dig a little bit more deeply in the section right there in the middle, verses 11 through 13, where he's talking about contentment and peace, because that's something that feels very elusive, very difficult to grasp in our world. So verse 11 is where he's reiterating how grateful he is that they thought of him, sent him a care package. He's not asking for more help, but he's learned to be content with whatever he has. Now, contentment is the peace we experience when the source of our life is steady, not shifting. I don't know if you've ever sat back in a real nice deck chair, or maybe your favorite chair with your favorite beverage, with your favorite vista in front of you, and you just experience that contented peace. And then as soon as that leg of that chair starts being a little wobbly, oh, not peaceful anymore, you're paying attention, because it's about how sure your foundation is that allows you to experience peace. And Paul has experienced a lot of shifting in life. And so he's had to learn how to be content no matter what shifts, whether he has a little or whether he has plenty. He's learned the secret of going well-fed or going hungry. And as I was reading, I thought that phrase was really interesting. He's learned the secret of being well-fed. What does it mean to be the secret, to learn the secret of going hungry? Well, if you look at the original language that this is written in, the word Paul uses is actually one that he borrows from the ancient Greek world, mostly used by philosophers of his time. And that term can be translated to learn the secret or to learn the mystery. It's like being initiated into a mystery. But the focus is on the learning part, not the secret part. Because it's not like there's some secret knowledge or some secret piece of information to learn. It's not like there's a secret password that unlocks something. It's about the learning part. It's referring to the experiential knowledge that is a mystery until you've lived it. Paul is pretty much saying, I've been there, I've done that, and I've grown because of it. I've gained the insider knowledge because I've lived through the process. I've learned the secret of how to be humbled, of how to be pushed down. I've also learned the secret of being content in prosperity. He's saying he's gone through the learning process of losing his prestige and status, being in need, but he's also learned to be content in prosperity. And that is a difficult thing to do, to be content when you have a lot in life. Most of us would think, well, when I have enough, that's when I'll be content. But how many of us know that the more stuff you have, that usually drives our desire to get more stuff? And contentment is always far off. So how do we feel at peace? How do we feel not swayed by that? And Paul isn't saying that, you know, I never feel the lack. He's experienced the lack. He isn't saying, I'm self-made. He isn't saying, I don't need anybody else. He's saying, I've learned the steadiness that isn't tied to my circumstances. It's tied to something else. And he isn't just preaching theory either, because he's actually lived it. Paul has been arrested. He's been humiliated. He's experienced hunger. But he's also enjoyed abundance and been a respected leader. And he's also experienced the rejection that happens from people that he loves. And he's currently writing this in prison. I've learned the secret. And the secret is not about being detached from the experiences of life. He's experienced life. He's shared tears. He's also shared rejoicing. His contentment in every season isn't about being detached. It's about being securely attached to Jesus. In other words, Paul's peace was not built on circumstances. It's built on his relationship to Jesus, because Paul has learned something that many of us have not learned yet. Your situation doesn't get to decide your peace. Your source does. And that's what he talks about in verse 13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Now, that's a really familiar verse. I've heard that verse a lot. I've seen that verse on coffee mugs. I like the way that the TNIV translates it. It says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I think it's a helpful translation of the original meaning of this verse, because it limits that all to the conversation that Paul is having, because Paul isn't talking about, I can do all things, as if he has some omnipotent ability for every single possibility in life. When he says, I can do all things, when he says, I can do all this, the all is referring to what he just said in verse 11, to be content whatever the circumstances. I can do all this. I can be content whatever the circumstances through him who gives me strength. In all the situations that he might find himself in life, whether it's poverty or prosperity, well-fed or hungry, Paul can be content. He has the power in Christ to endure all these ups and downs without anxiety, because he's received the peace of God, which guards his heart and his mind in Christ Jesus. Now, that's the passage that comes right before chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Present your requests to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And over this entire letter, Paul keeps connecting the focus of his life, his ability to weather any storm, his pursuit over all other things. He wants to be found in Christ, because that is worth far more than anything else to Paul. Because for Paul, to live is Christ. He says it all over the letter. He's confident in the Lord. He wants to know Christ, the power of resurrection and the participation in his suffering. He says at the beginning of our passage, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. For Paul, contentment in all circumstances does not mean just passive acceptance with whatever happens. It's not just a whatever may come kind of attitude. It's actually an active pursuit of the goal to know Christ and to preach Christ, to help others know that my situation doesn't shape my peace, Jesus does. Now, I have more to say about this, and I even have like a simple next step for you to try this week to enter into this practice, but before all that, can I admit something else? Because I'm really impressed. I'm amazed at Paul's fervor, his passion. I'm impressed with his perspective. But if I'm honest, I don't feel that way very often. Like, I don't always feel like I've learned how to have contented peace no matter what happens in life. Because if I'm honest, what happens in my life absolutely shapes and affects my outlook and my energy and my stress level. When life throws us a curveball, when all the bills come due on the same day, when we get that unexpected diagnosis, when we experience that relational conflict with somebody, we start to believe the lie that this is going to crush me. We start to believe the lie that this hardship is too powerful for me. It might even be too powerful for Jesus. We start to believe the lie that I am alone in this. And so the shifting situation under our feet causes us to spiral inward to isolate, to collapse into fear, and peace seems far off. And that's what the experience of being in a season of hardship is like. But Paul also talks about seasons of plenty. And it's just as easy to drift from the peace of God in a season of plenty. Because when things are going our way, or when we're experiencing abundance, it's pretty easy to believe the lie, I've built all this, so I need to keep sustaining it. It's easy to believe the lie that if I stop striving, all of this will disappear. It's easy to believe the lie that this blessing could be taken at any moment. And our hypervigilance and our anxiety carries us away. And our self-sufficiency crowds out any focus on God and his providence. And so whether we're up or we're down, we become frantic and hurried and distracted. We become disconnected from God, disconnected from people. I don't know if that sounds familiar to you at all. Frantic, hurried, distracted, disconnected. That's why Paul is trying to show us that true contentment doesn't come from being able to provide for ourselves. And it doesn't come from some outside source that the world is trying to sell us. True contented peace is when Jesus Christ becomes our steady foundation in every season. Because when Jesus becomes the source of life for us, fear is replaced by trust. Anxiety is replaced by peace. Striving is replaced by practicing presence with God. And isolation is replaced by connection. Paul is trying to show us that contentment is the peace you find when you choose Jesus as your source of strength, rather than trying to steady yourself on some shifting situation. Because we can't rely on a good season to sustain us. And we also can't fear a hard season is going to destroy us because Jesus is the solid rock. Everything else is just wind and waves. But when we are firmly established on him as our foundation, we experience his peace that isn't flung around by every blessing or hardship. And that's a mystery that can only be learned by going through it. Even though I wish I could preach so good, I wish I could encourage you so well with a message that all you had to do was sit there, listen to it, and your life would be changed. I wish I was that good. But that is not the truth. And that is not what our passage even tells us. That's not how Paul is describing what happens. Because contentment isn't passive, it's practiced. Contentment becomes real in practice, not just in theory. So I want to give you a super simple practice that I'd like you to try this week, because we're about to head into a busy holiday season. It's going to have lots of opportunities for family dynamics. They can go sideways. It's going to have lots of opportunities for a stressful situation to derail your focus. But when something shifts this week, I want to encourage you, interrupt the spiral by telling one trusted believer, this doesn't change Jesus' power. Because it's a guarantee that your situation will change on you. You will get a curveball thrown. But this simple practice can stop you from crashing out before it happens because you're breaking the momentum of fear. Or you're breaking the tendency to try to hold it all together by yourself. This doesn't change Jesus' power. And not only is that a good reminder to just say out loud to yourself because it redirects your focus to Jesus, but by reaching out to another believer, someone you trust that follows Jesus, it's reconnecting you to the family of God also. So seriously, the next time you feel like the floor just got pulled out from under you, reach out to a trusted friend who is a follower of Jesus and just tell them something like, hey, can I just name something out loud? Like something shifted today, something threw me off, but this doesn't change Jesus's power. Or maybe reach out to someone and say, hey, can you pray for me? Because I'm really struggling to remind myself that my situation doesn't change Jesus's power. Now, not all of you are in a hard season right now. In fact, some of you are listening are actually in a pretty good season of life. You're experiencing some abundance. And if that's you, I have a different simple practice that I'd encourage you to try this week to keep your focus on Jesus. Because when things are going well, it's really easy to get away from God's peace and think, things are going well and this is what's making me happy. But we know things can change and will change. And if our peace and contentedness is connected to that, then that can be taken away from us. And so one way that you can stay connected to Jesus' mission is to find a way this week to give something away. You could give away your time by helping someone else. You can give away your attention to someone who needs that connection from you. You could give away some money, right? This time of year has tons of ways to help others join Jesus' mission. There's even still a few ornaments left on the giving tree out in the atrium. If you want to help make some family have the best Christmas this year, that's a way to get involved. But find one way to give something away so that it reconnects you back to Jesus' mission. Because when we stay connected to Jesus, even in seasons of prosperity, it ensures that we don't let our contentment and our peace become hijacked by our own sense of self-sufficiency. Because we know that situations can change at any moment. And so generosity breaks the grip of self-sufficiency, of thinking that it's all up to me. It resensitizes us to God's heart and reminds us that we are stewards. We're just managers of God's stuff. We're not owners. And so that's my encouragement to you this week. Either connect with someone to help you hold on to the truth that Jesus' power isn't swayed by the hardship you're facing, or find a way to pivot your season of plenty into joining Jesus' mission of reaching the one. Because this is how Paul lived. This is how contentment gets formed in us. This is how peace becomes our normal posture by praying constantly, Jesus, what situation in my life do I need to hand over to your power? Because Jesus is the one who didn't see his equality with God as something to be used for his own benefit, but he humbled himself. He gave up his prestige and privilege and status. He took on the form of a slave and became obedient to death so that he could put an end to death. And therefore, God gave him the status and the authority and the power above every other power so that we could present our requests to him and experience the peace of God that transcends all understanding that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? Amen.